So Lord, help us keep fixed on you. Bring us back on course. And we thank you for the amazing, amazing truth we have in Jesus and how that brings us new life every day. Amen. So we've all got something in our life that's coming up next. All of us will have something in mind of what the next part of life looks like. For some of you, it's obvious. It's another year at school or college, or maybe university is the next thing for you. Maybe it's your first job. Maybe for you, it's a new baby. Maybe it's another baby. Maybe it's a grandchild who's on the way. For some of you, it might be actually, it's a new job. For some of you, it might be actually the next big thing in your life is the kids leaving an empty nest. That might be the next big thing for you. It might be retirement is the next thing on the cards for you. It might be years away yet, but that's the next big thing in your life. There's always something next in our life. And I want you to think about for a moment about what's your next? What's the next transition in your life? What's the next change in your life? Because change is stressful. It's one of the most stressful things you can go through, change. Because when things change and transition, suddenly there's unknown things that come into being, which we then have tensions about, we have worries about, which then leads to us being stressed. Because they're things that we can't control. The comfort of the previous season has changed into the discomfort of something brand new. And so all of us have got something next approaching, and for all of us, we'll find it stressful. But the question is, are there things that we can do to prepare for what's next? Are there things that you can do right now to prepare for what is coming next? And the answer to that is yes. Yes, you can. But there are two things you need to know about preparing for what's next. The first one is this. In the next season of your life, you take you with you. You are the constant in the next season of your life. The next thing you're going into, you are going into that new season. And it's very easy to say, well, when this changes, then I'll be different. When this happens, I'll be a better person. Or then I'll have the time to do the things I've always wanted to do. When this thing changes, then I will be something different. And it's a complete lie. You are still you now and when you go into the next season. You carry you with you. Don't fool yourself into thinking that a new situation, a new place, will mean a new you. You take you into the next season of your life with you. The next thing is, just because you might know what's coming up next, doesn't mean to say you're prepared for what's coming up next. Just because you know what might be next, you might know that retirement's around the corner, but just knowing it doesn't mean to say that actually you're prepared for it. And there's a difference between having a plan for what's next and being prepared for what's next. Planning is saying, I will do X, Y, and Z. Preparing is starting to do something about it now for when you get there. Don't confuse having a plan with being prepared. So just because you might know what's next doesn't mean to say you're prepared for what's next. So is there something that you can learn to do now that prepares us for what's next? And we're going to turn this morning to the book of James. Now, James is the brother of Jesus, one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Why? Because James, during the life of Jesus, doesn't believe that Jesus is who he said he was. James is that, you're not the Messiah. What? Imagine your sibling, if you have siblings, turn around to you and went, I am the Messiah. You'd be like, no, you're not. James doesn't believe Jesus is who he said he was during the entire lifespan of Jesus. He's not a disciple. He doesn't follow Jesus at all. There's stories in the Bible where his parents, his brothers, probably James, one of them, came up and said, you're mad. What are you doing? But James meets Jesus after the resurrection. Jesus meets James, and James immediately turns around and goes, "You are who you said you were." And James becomes the leader of the church in Jerusalem, the main church at the beginning of Acts. When the church kicks off, James is the guy who's leading it. So what James has to say is quite important, because he spent time with Jesus. He grew up with Jesus. He was someone who didn't believe Jesus at the time when Jesus was talking and preaching, but he then came to realize who Jesus was later on. So for some of you who think, "Oh, I wish I grew up in a Christian family, because now I know all this stuff about Jesus." Coming to faith later on actually can often be a better thing. James, even though he grows up in this family where Jesus is doing all this stuff, he doesn't believe it. But when he meets Jesus face to face, the risen Jesus, that's a moment when things all shift and change. So James is a great character to look at what he has to say and what he has to teach, because he knew Jesus better than anyone. So what does James have to say to us this morning about seasons of life and what's next and how we prepare for what's next? We're going to turn to James chapter 1, I'm starting in verse 22. Yes, James chapter 1, verse 22. And it says this: "Do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." Don't just listen to the word, but do what it says. In the days of James writing this, you wouldn't have a Bible of your own to read, so you'd hear the words read out loud. And so if you'd heard the word, or you heard it teached or preached, it was about putting something into action. Today it could be, if you hear it or you read it, do what it says. Do not fool yourself into thinking just because you've heard something, it'll make a difference in your life. And for many of us, particularly Christians, we can come to church week in, week out, and we hear a great message and we think, "Wow, that was so great." And we go away, and that was nice. And in the moment you heard it, it got you here, didn't it? But then the rest of the week, that's fine. But we think because we've heard it, because we know it, that's going to somehow change our lives. And you can hear all this stuff. You can hear the best sermons in the world by better preachers than me. But if you don't do something about it, it will never have an impact on your life. Don't just think coming to church is going to make you a better person. Don't just think hearing nice sermons are going to make you a better person. Don't think that just by doing this Christian thing, you're going to naturally, by osmosis, become a better person. Don't fool yourself. James says, don't just be someone who just hears the word. You've got to do something about it. You've got to put it into practice. You've got to do something with what you're hearing. You have to do what it says. And then he gives an example, he gives a picture to help us think about this. And he says in verse 23, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." When you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, what does it tell you? For me, it tells me that there's something that needs to be done. There has to be some sort of change that needs to come about. When I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror and think, there's some work to be done here. You might just think I wake up looking this beautiful, but I don't. It takes hours of work. But when you look in the mirror, it causes a response in you. You see something and you think, "Oh, that's not quite right. I'm just going to..." A mirror requires a response from you. And all of us, probably every single day, have this experience. That we look in a mirror, we see something, and we then make a correction because of something that we've seen. And James uses this illustration to help us think about what it means to hear the word and do something about it. That feeling you get when you look in the mirror and you think, "Oh, that's not quite right. Oh, I could do something more with this." That conviction, which is quite a Christian word for saying there's a change that needs to happen, that feeling is that same feeling you get when you come to the Word of God and you think, "Oh, actually, I'm seeing something in this that doesn't look the same here." It's a mirror that points to you and says, "Oh, life maybe is not quite as it should be." That you look in a mirror and you see something different. And I know how long every single person here spends looking in the mirror in the morning. You spend as much time in the mirror as it takes until it looks better. That's what you do, isn't it? You look in the mirror, it requires a response, you do something until you look better. And for some of us, when we're going out of the house, and we mirror in the hall, and before we go out, we have another little quick glance in the mirror, and we go, oh, not quite right yet, make another adjustment before we go. A mirror requires a response. And the word of God, James is saying here, it's like a mirror to our lives. And it requires a response. Just think about how much time you might spend every day making adjustments to your physical appearance. And what James is saying, you need to do the same attention to your attitude and your behavior. You need to look at your attitude and your behavior, which equals character. And you think about what changes might be made in order for things to be different. Just looking in a mirror and then going, oh, fine now. Looking in a mirror doesn't make you somehow better. Looking in a mirror requires a response which you then act upon, make an active change so that things are then different. If you got up in the morning, looked in the mirror, thought, that's fine, and then you're going to go meet the Queen or some other celebrity that you might think is an important person, and then your friends went to you, you can't meet the Queen looking like that. And you go, but I looked in the mirror this morning. And they go, yes, but you did not see what you saw in the mirror this morning. You looked dreadful. What James is saying here, it's like looking in a mirror and thinking, because you looked in the mirror, that somehow means that you're now fine. You wouldn't do that. So James is saying, why did you then do that with your attitudes and your behaviours and the way you do your life? He's saying to hear the word of God and not put it into practice is just thinking that looking in the mirror is enough to make you more beautiful, to make you look better, to bring about a change. Looking in a mirror doesn't bring about a change. It's what you do because of that that brings about a change in your life. So don't be someone who looks in the mirror. Be someone who does something about it. You need to spend time thinking about who you are and your attitude, your behavior, and your character. Because that is the thing that will transform your life. Fixing your hair won't. Looking at the Word of God and seeing what it might need to do. Being aware of what you should do is not the same as doing it. And for so many of us, we hear the Bible, we hear some teaching, and we go, yeah, that's really good, that's really true. And we're aware of it, we're aware of the change that needs to come, but we do nothing about it. And often it can be because of the lie we tell ourselves that, well, I'll do that when something else changes. When the season changes, then I'll do that thing that I know I ought to be doing. But right now I can't do that for this reason, this reason, or this reason. Being aware of what you should do is not the same as doing it. And so if you're someone who's in the habit of hearing or seeing things and doing nothing about it, if that's your habit, if that's how you do things, if you're in the habit of seeing things, not doing anything about it, or hearing something and doing nothing about it, if you're not doing that now, you won't do it later. You won't do it later. The habits you form in this season of your life will affect the habits that you have in the next season of your life. And if you're not someone who's doing something about it now in this season, you won't be someone who does something about it in the next season. And why does this matter? Because the seasons of your life are connected. Why go to school? Why? Because you want to learn so that you can learn more, hopefully get decent grades, so you can, if you want to go to university, go to university, or do an apprenticeship, or do it, get a job. It's so you can do something in the next season of your life. What you're doing now affects what you do later. And we live in a world right now which is all about the moment. And it's just live for today and not for tomorrow. And that's okay to some degree. It's good to be present where you are. But what you then do is you end up thinking, oh, that's a future problem. I'll deal with that another time. I've got a friend of mine called Rachel. And she gave me one of the best pieces of advice ever. I use this all the time in my life. And me and my girlfriend Hannah, we were with Rachel. And she said, oh, I've got to go now. We're like, why is that? She said, I've got to go and do this, that, and the other. We're like, why do you want to do that right now? She went, if I don't do this now, future Rachel will be sad with past Rachel. Future Rachel will be sad with past Rachel. What she's saying is, if I do this now, I know that I'll be happier later. If I can sort it out now, it's worthwhile so that actually a little bit later tomorrow or the next day, actually I'll feel better about things. That there'll be a better change coming because I do it now. That's the same for us in our lives. We've got to be doers now so that we can be doers later. The thing is on to say, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. If you look intently, the Greek word there intently means to sort of like to get down, to observe, to try and understand, to try and get your head around, to fully comprehend. Because anyone who intently looks into the perfect law of God. What's the perfect law of God? Let's just have a little side show here of something else. Does it mean all the Jewish law? No. What does Jesus condense the law down to? What's called the golden rule? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. And then the disciples were thinking, great, the law in two lines, great. But when Jesus then goes to the Last Supper, the night before he dies, he says to them, actually, I'll give you even a better commandment than that one. The new commandment I give you trumps those two. Love as I have loved. Love as I have loved you. And then the following day, he goes and sacrifices himself for their eternal life. That's how he shows love. Whoever looks into the perfect law of God, whoever understands what love looks like and puts it into practice, their lives will be transformed and changed. If you hear the word of God and you put it into practice, it then says, it gives freedom. That what you do now affects what's happening next. And in order to have freedom then, you do something about it now. Listen to me, with your finances, are you someone who just spends everything you've got right now and thinks we'll deal with the consequences later? Or are you someone who thinks, actually, I can't afford this right now, so I'll save so that I'm not in debt later, so I have freedom later? It could be in how you do dating. Are you going to stay pure now, sexually, so actually when you're in a relationship later, the freedom that you have of the intimacy that you have later is so much greater? You see, these things that we do as Christians, they're not just kind of, well, you ought to do this because that's what's good and that's wrong. It's saying when you do these things, your life brings freedom later. But because we want things instantaneously, we're not prepared. We want the instant gratification rather than the long-term freedom. So we do things now that we want to do rather than hearing the wisdom of the Word of God and saying, if you do this now, if you put this into practice now, it will work long-term for you. So for example, things like financially, things like giving. You go, well, when I have this job, then I'll give. I'll be more generous. When this happens, then I'll do. Ever since I've had a job, I've tithed. I've given money to the church and to other charities and other organisations. Because when I had a £5 wage packet every week to what I have now, it's the same principle. I learned to do it then, so I then learn to do it now. It doesn't come as a big surprise because it just means that the first thing that happens in my month is I give. I give, and then I save, and I live on everything else. And when you give first, and then you save second, and you live on everything else, you will have financial freedom. I can guarantee you that. Why? because that is the pattern of Jesus. Thinking he doesn't do money. Well, what's his pattern? God gives Christ. Jesus brings salvation. He brings saving. And then it brings life. And then you live it. Give, save, live. So that's how it can work. See, there are things that you can do now, which if you do it now, you'll do it later. If you're not doing it now, you won't do it later. And the best preparation for the next season of your life is to be doing it now. Because it says, then, not only will you have freedom, but it says, you will be blessed. And that word blessed can just simply mean the word happy. You'll be a happier person because you're a doer now, rather than someone who puts it off and does it later. Because you hear something, you see something that's wrong, and you correct it now. You hear something, you go, ah, I should make an adjustment now because of that. And because you do that, now, it means later, you'll be in the right place to do it again. It seems a really simple thing to say, and you're thinking, oh, I thought it was going to be a much better sermon than this. How do you prepare for the next season of your life? You start being a doer now, because then you'll be a doer later. You're preparing now, so that you're prepared later. What you establish, the patterns and the habits you have now, you'll take with you into the next season of your life. Don't think that the new season will then mean suddenly you'll instantly somehow change. It won't happen overnight. Establish habits now, be a doer of the word, because then you'll be a doer of the word later. Being a doer now is preparation for being a doer later on in your life. And that's just wisdom. You haven't got to say, that's what the Bible says. That's just how the world works. This is wisdom that it comes from the scriptures, which helps us to live our lives. Being a doer now will help you be a doer later. Don't be in the habit of being someone who sees something or hears something and goes, that's great, I should do something about that, and then not. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. This is what Jesus has to say about this same principle. Hear what James says. What does Jesus say? Jesus says in Matthew 7, anyone who hears these words of mine, hears the teaching I'm bringing, the things I have to say, and he puts it into practice, they put it into practice in their life, you're like a wise person building their house on a firm foundation. If you want to lay good foundations in your life, build them on what Jesus has to say. Don't just be trying to be a nicer person, thinking because you're a Christian you ought to be nicer. Do what the Bible actually tells us to do. And it is a foundation in our life of something which is solid that we can build our lives on. And then it says, and the rains came down, and the storms rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. We're all going to go through transition in our life. We're all going to go through change in our life. And it will feel like a storm beating around you. Because, as I said, transition and change is really stressful. Because it uproots us from where we are in the comfort that we're in right now, and it throws us into something we're not quite sure about yet to happen. But if you want to make sure that actually you're prepared for that next season of life, it's laying the foundations now so that actually when the transition and change happens, you're in a better place to stand strong and have a firm footing. So you do what the Bible says. Do what Jesus says. Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. Otherwise, it's like looking in the mirror and doing nothing about what you see. And thinking that because you've seen it, it's somehow going to change. Lay a foundation now of being a doer, because it's a preparation for being a doer later on. That's the starting point of the Christian life. To follow Jesus is to put into practice what he teaches. And even if you're not a Christian here this morning, you can still put into practice the things that Jesus taught, and it will still bring you life and blessing. It won't bring the fullness of salvation and the life in God that you could have, but if you put the wisdom of the Bible into practice, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, it will still have a positive impact in your life. Because the words the Bible says are true. And you can find this out for yourself by testing it out. Put these words into practice and you will see that it brings freedom, it brings blessing, it brings happiness. So this morning the question is, what do you need to do? Are there things right now in your life that you shouldn't be doing? And you think, well, when the season changes, I'll be over that by that point. Are there things that you shouldn't be doing right now, which you're doing, which you need to stop? That we need to stop? Are there things in your life right now that you're not doing that you know you need to do? You might be making excuses as to why you can't do it right now. Of saying, well, when this happens, then I'll do that. If you get into the habit of always putting it off because of an excuse, you'll never do it. Find a way of doing a small step towards being a doer into that situation. Because you'll be amazed when you start doing how things open up and how things change. For some of us, it might be, I haven't got enough time right now. When I have enough time, then I will do. You will never have enough time in your life. Never. The only way you have more time in your life is when you start actively putting more things into your life. Be a doer now. What do you need to do this morning? What have you heard? What have you seen? And the call of Jesus and the call of James's brother is to say, are you going to put it into action? Because otherwise, like looking in the mirror and doing nothing about what you see and just hoping that somehow it will change. Knowing it is not the same as living it. Let's pray. Father God, help us be prepared for the next season of our life by being people who learn the habit now of being a doer, of putting into practice the things that you teach now. Father God, forgive us when we have used the excuse of when the season changes, then I'll be different. And help us see your grace in that and how much you love us. But Lord, help us turn towards you afresh and step back into your path and your way. Help us be a doer now of what you teach. And Lord, for those of us this morning who aren't sure of what it is you teach, help us discover that and find that for ourselves. To hear your word, to see your word, to read your word, and put it into practice. To lay those foundations in life that help us weather the storms of transition and change. Help us be a doer of your word. And help us think about what we need to do this morning as a result of what we've heard. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.